Hallelujah. Well, tonight, why don't you get your Bibles out?
Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 12. We've been here before, but we're going here again tonight. When I got asked to do the service tonight, I had no idea what I was going to teach or talk or preach on. So I went to my room and I prayed. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what do your people need? What do the people need that I'm going to be speaking to? And here's what he said to me. They need to learn how to care for one another. Did you hear what I said? They need to learn to care for one another. This body is one. Amen? So Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And why am I going here first? I'll tell you in a minute. Let's read it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we stop there. Before you can help anyone else, before you can care for anyone else, before you can comfort anyone else, before you can give anyone else peace, you have to first be renewed yourself. You cannot, as an unregenerate man, care or comfort for someone else in the way that God wants you to care and comfort for them. So, go on. Let's go down to verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, that everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we are many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body. Are you hearing me? For we have many members, but in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. See, we always separate that. We always stop at verse 2, Romans chapter 12. We always stop at verse 2. They go together, people. You cannot be a comfort to someone else or care for someone else or help share them the Word of God, help build them up if you aren't first renewed yourself. That's why it follows. Amen? How do you do that? Well, let's look one more verse. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 12 for a minute. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12. When we leave Hebrews 12, you might want to mark it. We're going to be back there. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Now, he's talking about yourself right there. Okay? He's talking about healing yourself, getting yourself put back together first, before you can go on and do anything else and help anybody else. How do you do that? How do you get renewed? Well, Romans 12:1 says, present yourself to God. How do you present yourself to God? How do you get in His presence? You have to encourage God's presence. You have to encourage yourself to get in His presence. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God, and He'll draw nigh unto you. So how do you get in God's presence? You draw near to Him first. How do you do that? Praise and worship. One way. But I'm going to talk tonight about a different way. We'll talk about prayer. Prayer. What is prayer? It's just talking to God. That's right. It's not always in your closet, on your face, prostrate before Him. It's not always weeping and sobbing. No. It's just talking to God, having communion with Him. Yeah? So many Christians today neglect prayer. Yet, it's a way to get in His presence. And when you neglect prayer, you neglect or rob yourself of one of the ways of getting in God's presence. And you can pray alone, or you can pray corporately, and both of them will get you in His presence. You don't have to be alone to get in His presence. One thing I found that worked for me, and I think it should be universal for everybody, is that you need to start your day with prayer. Prayer should be one of the first things you do in the morning when you get up. I'm telling you right now, when I wake up in my bed, before I get out of bed, I first thank God for another day, and I say, good morning, Father, good morning, Son, and good morning, Holy Spirit. I began to talk to them before I even put my feet on the floor. People, that's prayer. Prayer is talking to your Heavenly Father. And you need to start your day with prayer. You need to get not just that little one, but pray for your family. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for those that you would love to see come to God but aren't. Amen? Pray for your leaders. You know, there's lots of things to pray for. And you can just pray by giving thanks to God too. Thanking Him for all the things He's done for you. That's prayer. But here's another good point. Once you've started your day with prayer, you need to keep that attitude of prayer throughout the day. Well, how can you do that? How can I? Come on. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, that you should pray without ceasing. How are you going to pray without ceasing? If you've got a job where you have to go to work, people are going to be making fun of you if you pray. No, they're not, because I'll tell you what. If you keep an attitude of prayer, that means that you're always communing with God throughout the day. You can talk to Him without talking out loud. You can talk to Him with your heart. And if you stay in an attitude of prayer where you're talking with God all the time, you're in His presence. And when you're in His presence, things are going to work right. Things are going to go right. You're going to have an attitude that'll affect those around you. Amen? So you've already started to care for others just by getting in God's presence. You know God comforts us with His presence? That's one of the things His presence is for, is to comfort us. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. Hold your place there because we're going to come back to Hebrews. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. How many times have you read that and not understood what it meant? Until God comforts you, you can't comfort someone else because you aren't in His comfort. You don't have His comfort that He wants you to use to comfort them. His presence brings comfort. You won't experience His comfort if you don't experience His presence. Many of us are too insensitive to His presence. We're too involved with our own personal things and our own things of the world that we miss His presence when it comes. He's there. He's there all the time. But until we become sensitive to His presence, we miss Him. We have to teach ourselves to be sensitive to His presence. And one of the ways of doing that is staying in an attitude of prayer all the time. Because what are you doing if you're in an attitude of prayer? You're communing with Him. If you're communing with Him, it's pretty hard to talk with someone if you're not in their presence, if you don't have a phone or something. And that's, to me, is not communing. That's just talking. to commune with someone, I have to be in their presence. Because that word is really koinonia. Tight fellowship. Amen? And I want to have tight fellowship with my Father, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. I want them with me all the time. I want them telling me what to do before I do it. I don't want to do anything on my own. Amen? So we have to learn to get uninvolved. How do you get uninvolved? You just have to learn to get uninvolved. You know, when I was still working, I learned to put in an 8-hour day, do all the work I was required to do, and go home rested. Now, granted, my job was not that much physical, although I did a lot of walking sometimes. But the reason I could go home rested is because I tried to stay in an attitude of prayer all day. I tried to stay in communion with God all day. I tried to speak to Him about things. I tried to keep Him involved in what I was doing. Sometimes it's hard. The best time to be doing that is when people start to get on your nerves. Then you know you're not communing with God enough and you need to get back in His presence. Amen? Hallelujah. God's presence means that we're not alone. When His presence is there, we're not alone. Hebrews chapter 13. I told you to mark your spot. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can men do to me? I'm never alone. Ever. I used to be. But I have not been alone ever since March 21st, 1997. Actually, I was not alone before that. I just didn't know it. He was there. I just didn't acknowledge Him before that. He was knocking on the door for a long time, in my case. But I'm never alone. And because I'm never alone, His presence comforts me. His presence gives me rest. His presence gives me peace. You want to know the peace of God? You've got to get in His presence. Hold your place in Hebrews. Go over to Isaiah chapter 26. Oh, my God is good, people. He is so good. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Everybody there? Verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. He can't keep you in perfect peace unless you have your mind stayed on him. Staying in an attitude of prayer all day, you keep your mind stayed on him. Amen? Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6. Philippians, not Ephesians. Let's begin with verse 5. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. How are you going to let your gentleness be known? When the Lord is at hand. He is your gentleness then. Amen? Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. If I'm in an attitude of prayer all day, I'm letting everything be known to Him that I need help with. that I need His direction in, that I need His guidance and His understanding so that I can get through it. Amen? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Oh, yes, we got to thank Him. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Him. That's good enough reason just to thank Him right there. He gave us the very breath we live with. Amen? With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That statement is larger than life, people. The peace that passes, actually it didn't say passes, it says the peace that surpasses all understanding. Peace that you can't even understand. That's pretty peaceful, people. And you need that kind of peace before you can help others attain it. We've already seen in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, there, verses 3 and 4, that God wants us to comfort others. He wants to comfort others through us. But He has to first give us the comfort that we're to use to comfort them, until they can themselves get it directly from God. And that's what we're here for, is to help instruct those people, even our brothers and sisters, it starts here, on how to receive from God what He has for us. And if we're self-centered, or always thinking of self, you cannot be of any help to anyone else. Because all you're going to think about is yourself. So one of the things we have to do first of all is get rid of our self-centeredness and get God-centered. Amen? We're to encourage others and help them find, understand, and know how to use the promises God has in His Word for us. Amen? Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. You see, we have to help others be able to find those promises and those writings that God has put down, because that's our hope. That's their hope of what God's promised them. So we have to teach them and encourage them on how to know that it's there, how to find it, and then what to do with it once they do find it. Let's go on. Verse 5. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another. Hello. May the God of patience and comfort, patience and comfort, grant to you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus. Verse 6, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The whole purpose for us of being one-minded is so that we can together glorify God. Do you know what happened when they were dedicating the temple and everybody got in one accord? Do you remember that? The glory of God came down and even the priests couldn't enter the temple to minister. Oh, would I love that right now. I'd love for that glory to fill this place to where I could not minister right now. Because you wouldn't need me to minister then, people. He'd be ministering to you. Amen? But we have to be in one accord, of one mind, caring for each other. You want to know why we haven't been seeing His presence more often? I just told you. We're not caring for one another. We're not being of one mind for one another. And we're not walking in love with each other. We may think we are, but we're not walking in love the way God wants us to walk in love with each other. Amen? And I'm speaking to myself. Not just you, but to myself also. It starts here. We need to show, like I said, we need to show God's promises to others. We need to teach them how to find them, what they mean, and then teach those people how to meditate on those promises so they can make them work in their lives. Amen? Let's go over to 2 Peter for a minute. 2 Peter chapter 1. Oh, I love God's Word. It's just, it's awesome. There is so much in here. 2 Peter chapter 1. If we don't learn how to handle God's promises, and we begin to neglect them, or we allow others to neglect them, then you get robbed of the reassurance of finding the divine nature. And I don't know about you, but I want to be in the divine nature of God. And He has put in His Word great and precious promises to help me get there. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Excuse me, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Oh, my Lord, what a promise. He has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. But if you don't know that, how can you walk in it? And how can you teach others to walk in it if you don't know it first? Amen? And His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Verse 4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Oh, not just great and precious, but exceedingly great and precious promises. Well, I wonder what that reads like in the Amplified. I'm not even reading the Amplified. But by which you have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. People, you can't help others if you don't have it yourself, if you don't know it yourself. But He wants us to show it to others. He wants us to teach others. He wants us to teach them how to find the promises, teach them how to use the promises, how to meditate the promises, so that they can be partakers of the divine nature of God. Not just that you can, but that those around you can. Those He wants you to care for. Amen? We need to practice brotherly love and brotherly kindness always. Now, what is that? What is brotherly love? My brother and I fought all the time. No, that's not true. We didn't. My brother and I were closer than probably most brothers are. There was a 13-year age difference between us. He was the older, but it didn't matter. We were still closer than most brothers. What is brotherly kindness, though? Well, lay down your life for your brother. Would you do that? That's brotherly kindness. Let's go on. Verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control. Ooh, that's a tough one. To self-control, perseverance. What does it mean to persevere? It means to never give up. That's the easiest way to say it. Never give up is perseverance. No matter how big the odds, no matter what, you press through. That's perseverance, people. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. Walking in love with your brothers and sisters. That's godly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. There it is. He answered it. Brotherly kindness stems from love. Verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound in you, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ. See, you have to have in you these virtues abounding and being walking in brotherly kindness so that you can care for others. How do you care for others? You serve one another. What does it mean to serve? When I go to a restaurant, most restaurants, the first thing they do is they come and seat me. That's serving me. Then after they seat me, they bring me menus. Then they come back and they take my order. Then they come back and bring my food. Then they come and clean the table when I'm done. In the meantime, they come back two or three times to make sure you've got... That's serving you. We're to serve one another. What can I do for you today, brother? Even if it's a prayer, that's serving. I'm going to get to that in a minute. Galatians chapter 5, please. Galatians chapter 5. I don't like to teach anything without Scripture to back it up. I believe in the Word. And I believe the Word is what sets people free. Amen? Galatians chapter 5, and let's look at... Let's start with 13. Verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Don't stop. There's one more verse. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Now, that verse, previous verse, he said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you recall, that was one of the two great commandments that Jesus gave us to take the place of the law. And he said, in these, all of the law of the prophets is fulfilled. And the first was to love your God, and the second was love your neighbor. Yeah? Got to remember, if you back up to verse 9 there, it says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. All it takes is one troublemaker. And the whole group gets labeled as a troublemaker. All it takes is one person not walking in love to affect the lives and the attitudes of everyone they come near. We're to be at peace with each other. How can you be at peace with each other if you don't have first the perfect peace that passes all understanding that God has given to us? Amen? Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians with that. Let's look at that piece. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Be at peace with one another. Let's start with verse 12 in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Your pastor, your pastors, and your leaders don't need to hear you bickering and strifing with each other. They have enough other things to keep them busy. That's part of what it means here to esteem them very highly. in love. If you're walking in love with all of your brothers and sisters, then you're walking in love with your pastors. And you're walking in love with God. If you're walking in strife and bitterness with your brothers and sisters, then you're really not walking in love with your pastors or your leaders. Because you're not walking in love with God. It flows right up the line. Amen? Be at peace among yourselves, he says. Let's go on. Verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. Be patient with all. These are ways to serve one another, people. Verse 15. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. 16. Rejoice always. And again I say rejoice. Amen? Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What were we created for? To praise and worship God. To give thanks to Him. That was the purpose for our whole being. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Now, that did not say accept all prophecies. It said do not despise prophecies. If someone prophesies over you, make sure that it rings true to you, that it rings true to the Word of God, and that it is what God's already been speaking to you. If it isn't, it's just words. I've had a couple of people speak things over me that I know God is not telling me. It may sound good when they're doing it, but sorry, that's not God's word for me. And I've had other people speak things to me that I didn't think was God's word, and He corrected me on the spot. See, if you're listening, you know. It's not just listening to what somebody's saying, but listen to the Spirit of God that's speaking through them. Amen? Discern that prophecy. Let's go on. Do not despise prophecies. Verse 21, test all things, hold fast that which is good, and abstain from every form of evil. In Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. You understand what that means? Giving preference to one another. In other words, don't put yourself first. Put them first. That's giving preference. Go out of your way to serve them. Pursue peace with all. Peace. He wants us to walk in peace. Go back to Hebrews chapter 12. We looked at verse 12 and 13. Let's look at 14. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. What won't you see the Lord with? Without peace. Or without holiness. Verse 15, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Pursue peace among ourselves, people. If we don't have peace among ourselves, how can we expect to have peace among those out in the world? And that's where He wants us to go. But we have to first be at peace with ourselves. Romans chapter 12. Once again. One verse. Verse 18. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you. Oh, I like the way that starts. He's pointing the finger right at you. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. It's up to us to live peaceably with all men. But with God, all things are possible. My wife said it. With God, all things are possible. In fact, I know that I can't be at peace with some people without God inside of me and His love. It's just not possible. And I'm not talking about anybody here. I'm talking about outside. Okay? I've met some people that better left unsaid. But God's love in me, I can walk in peace with them. Amen? I can share the word with them if God tells me to. Yeah? The last thing I want to talk about, I mentioned in the very beginning, and that's prayer. To walk together, to comfort one another, to care for one another. One of the best things we can do is we can pray for each other. And you say, look at me and say, well, how can I pray for Brother Jeremiah? I don't know his needs. Yes, you do. You have the greater one in you. You know his needs. You don't have to pray for... Well, we should pray for specific things when we know about them. But if we don't know specifics, we can always pray generally for improvement in the general quality of his life, for improvement in his wisdom and the knowledge of God, for improvement in the wisdom of his love for God, for God supplying him with the spiritual power that he needs to produce Christian character and action in his lives. Amen. Don't tell me you don't know how to pray for him, and I'm just using you as an example, brother. I'm not picking on you. Amen. And that enables us to walk in love with one another so that we can do the work he's called us to do. Now, let me give you an example of a good prayer. And I didn't make it up. I'm going to read it to you. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. You could begin at verse 3, but for tonight I'm going to begin at verse 9. Verses 3 through 8 are also excellent prayers to pray for somebody. And I'm going to pray this prayer for Brother Jeremiah tonight. So here's what I'm going to do. For this reason, I also, since the day I heard of it, do not cease to pray for Jeremiah, and to ask that Jeremiah may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that Jeremiah may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. I just prayed for Brother Jeremiah. And I didn't even have to write the prayer. I didn't even have to think of it. Let me read that to you in the Good News Bible. This was interesting. I really liked the way it was written in the Good News. And I'm just going to read it. I'm not going to put Jeremiah in there this time. We ask God... Well, yeah, I will. We ask God to fill Jeremiah with the knowledge of His will, with all wisdom and understanding that His Spirit gives. Then Jeremiah will be able to live as the Lord wants and will always do what pleases Him. Jeremiah's life will then produce all kinds of good deeds, and Jeremiah will grow in his knowledge, or will grow in his knowledge of God. May Jeremiah be made strong with all the strength which comes from his glorious power, so that Jeremiah may be able to endure everything with patience. I try to pray for everyone in this body at least once a week. And that's not enough. And I may not mention every one of you by specific name, but a lot of you I do. And when I run out of memory of names, I just go, in the rest of the body, Lord. He knows who you are. But I can pray specifically for somebody when I think they need it, when I feel God's calling me to do it. I'll tell you some other good ones. Ephesians chapter 1. Beginning with verse... Um, I usually start at verse 17, but you could start at 15, pray through the rest of that chapter. And there again, take it and insert their names. Amen. Another one is Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse 14 to the end of the chapter. You'd be surprised if you took somebody and prayed for them, these prayers, for just a week, every day. You would be surprised at the change you would see from Sunday to Sunday. If you don't believe me, try it. Just try it. And think what would happen if you did it every day for a month then. Don't tell me God doesn't answer prayer. I know He does. And the best way we can learn to come together, to learn to care for one another, is through prayer for them. Here's what's going to happen, and you've got to be ready for it. You begin praying for somebody else, God's going to start working on you. He's going to start showing you some things that you need to change. Yeah, He'll talk to them too, but He's going to start here first. And it'll be with the things you need to change in dealing with that person. That's how we're going to learn to be one body and yet be individual members. And until we are one body that thinks and speaks as one mind, caring for one another in everything, we're not going to see increase, people. We're not going to see increase. And I believe that's why He laid this on me tonight. We're expecting increase. We're praying for increase. And God told me, He says, you're not ready. You aren't caring for one another yet. You're not ready for new. Ouch. Ouch. You know, here's an interesting thing. They used to rub salt on a newborn baby, on their skin, in the olden days, to toughen the baby's skin. And the Lord gave me a vision. That's like toughening ourselves to the things people say and do to us so that we can walk in love with them. We are so tender that we take and allow every little thing that's wrong or that wasn't said exactly right, and we let it bother us. Sometimes it bothers people so bad that all they want to do is quit and go somewhere else. And I want to tell you something. Rubbing salt on a baby is scriptural. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 4, will tell you about it. Ezekiel chapter 4, verse... or chapter 16, rather, verse 4. There's a lot of other stuff in that verse, too. As for your nativity, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut. He's talking to Israel. Nor were you washed in water to cleanse you. You were not rubbed with salt, nor wrapped in swaddling clothes. No eye pitied you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you, but you were thrown out into the open field when you yourself were loathed on the day you were born. I'm talking to Israel, but guess what, people? I think you need to go home and rub salt on ourselves. I'm guilty of it. People say something to me and it's not said exactly the way I thought it should have been said, and it irritates me. So what? And that's what the Lord told me. So what? You know what they meant. Did I? Probably. We have to learn to love one another. We have to learn to walk in love with one another. Not just know that we need to love one another. We need to know how to walk in love with one another. We need to know how to care for one another. To comfort one another. To show one another peace. And understanding. Understanding. That's a big word. Amen? We want to see increase? We have to become one. One mind, one body, many members. Praise God. Did you get anything? I know I sure did when He gave it to me. And He gave me a little more tonight. God is so good. And all He wants from you and me and all of us, is to return the same love back, not only to Him, but to the ones around us that He gives us. Amen? Praise God. Why don't you stand to your feet? Hallelujah. My God is good. Amen?
Amen.
All the time? To who?
Me.
To who?
Me.
Say it again. My God is good to who?
Me.
To who?
Me.
Amen. Praise God.